this time Vahid Benkow follows in. FBK to Berisha. There it is. He's broken the record. Besar Berisha from Vahid Benkowfala. And that's his 91st A-League goal, and he is their new career leader in the A-League, and victory lead at 1-0. Archie Thompson on the big screen doing the dance. What a classy act from Archie.
I tell you what, Ed, it looks like Berisha has scored, but I want to see a replay, because I reckon he actually fluffs this effort and it goes in off McGinn. I want to see the replay. That's what I saw.
Yes. Absolutely correct. When you look at the replay, of course, Jake McGing was forced to turn to his own net, denying Besar Berisha the chance to become the league's outright all-time leading scorer last night. Marco Rojas with a couple. Look, we expected it to be a win for victory. Central Coast couldn't quite keep up last night. 4-1 deficit. Michael Sapani is with us. Lucky he's got some breath. It's hot, and he's just been out for a lazy 4K run, I believe. Morning, Zappers.
G'day, Brett. How you going?
Going okay. That's dedication.
Yeah, well, you know, this time of year, you've got to put in a few extra yards, don't you, for the extra food that we're consuming.
Yeah, no.
And the extra beers as well.
No doubt about it. Hey, contrasting nights at Amy Park. I mean, an absolutely unbelievable game on Tuesday night, 3-3 between City and Glory. And last night we expected, you know, victories. The game wore on to certainly have the better of the Mariners.
Yeah, it was comprehensive for Melbourne victory last night. They've been sensational over the last month. They've won, I think, 5 out of their last 6 now, so they're on a real roll. And when you look at their fixtures coming up over the next month, they don't play a side in the top 5. So some real opportunity there for Melbourne Victory to push Sydney FC for that first spot. Sydney FC at the moment are flying. They're undefeated in 12 games. They've broken an A-League record. It's never been done before. But I'll tell you what, the way Melbourne Victory is playing at the moment, they're going to be a serious title challenger. Melbourne City, as you said, have dropped off a little bit and a few big question marks for them. But Victory comprehensive last night, way too good for the Central Coast Mariners. And Vahid Benkowfala, I think that's the thing that Kevin Muscat would be most pleased about. Do you remember last year, he had a really off season.
Yep.
The first season he was here, he was the best player at Melbourne Victory. He won the Victory medal and was outstanding and was one of the best players in the league, not just at Melbourne Victory. He really struggled last year, and I'm not sure why, but this year we've seen the best of Kalfala. He came back into the side in round 6 against Western Sydney. He started the first few, then was dropped, then came back in. And playing in that wide position really suits him. And Kevin Muscat has continued to show the faith in him, and it's been paid in dividends. He was best on ground again last night.
Yeah, he was terrific. We're talking to Michael Sapani for Alpha Barbers, of course, Melbourne Central, Hardware Lane, and also in Flinders Lane. And when you look at sort of the squad that Kevin Muscat has got, I mean, there's some guys here that, you know, are very talented Zappers that aren't, you know, getting a lot of time. I mean, obviously, as the season wears on, you're going to get injuries and things are going to happen, so you need that whole squad. So it's a nice thing for Muscat to have up his sleeve. He's got a few guys he can certainly draw on.
Yeah, definitely. Look at Jai Ingham, who makes an impact every time he comes off, and Maxi Beisser, the German youth international, who is still struggling. He's still looking to find his full fitness and find his touch. He's been out of the game for 12 months before coming to Melbourne Victory, but a pedigree player you'd expect more from in the back half of the season. Mitch Austin's been missing for a month. He's now back in training, and given any other side, he would have been taking part last night, but just because of the depth that Melbourne Victory's got, Austin wasn't even in the squad. So what you will see, though, is Victory have got a catch-up fixture against the Wellington Phoenix in a couple of weeks' time, and it's a really hectic schedule for them. So they have a midweek game in Wellington. They have to travel to Perth that same weekend. So what I think you'll see is rotation and some of those younger players and players that have been less used by Kevin Muscat used in that week, and that's where he'll really need to draw on that depth in his squad.
Marco Rojas with another couple last night. I mean, he's just having one of those years, isn't he, where he is, he's become just a very regular, consistent, very valuable scorer.
Yeah, and I think he's more than that. I think he's actually the best player going around in the A-League at the moment. He is sensational. The way he controls the ball at his feet, the runs that he makes, the assists. He's leading the league for assists. He's right up there on the goal-scoring charts as well. So put those two quality elements together, and that is one very valuable player. He was at Victory a couple of seasons ago, you might remember. He won the Johnny Warren medal, which is the equivalent of the Brownlow in the A-League. and then went overseas and played some football in Germany. Struggled to make an impact there, and he was really quick to re-sign for Melbourne Victory. The signing of the season for me, he's been outstanding, and I think he has another season like this that he's having again. He'll get another opportunity to play in Europe. It's an extraordinary story, but I'm not sure you know, Marco Rojas actually slipped through the system in New Zealand. He was found by the Wellington Phoenix fans. They had a competition, pick a player, give him a trial in the local comp. They picked Marco Rojas. He got a trial at Wellington Phoenix, and the rest is history. It's just an extraordinary story, a great one.
Yeah, noted about that. Your observances, Zabbers, of the Mariners last night. We could see the frustration of Paul Okon on the sidelines there and sort of slumped back in his chair late in the game. They've, I suppose, stunk it up a few times. We know they're certainly not in the class of Melbourne Victory, but what did you observe close up?
I feel really sorry for Paul Okon because he's a great coach and he's been a good coach at the youth international level, but he's taken this job on. And he's well aware of the challenges of this job. They were last year and really struggled. And Tony Walmsley was the coach coming into this season. You might remember in the FFA Cup, Central Coast Mariners were beaten by a Green Gully, a Victorian Premier League side. And after that game, this is only a few weeks before the season starts, the Central Coast board sacks Tony Walmsley and they offer the job to Paul Okon. Now, he doesn't have to take it, but he does because he sees it as a challenge. It's something that he can develop these young squads. It is a very young squad. They are really under-resourced on the Central Coast. And I implore the owners of that team to start investing because you cannot sustain this type of football season after season. And they will lose crowds. They will lose interest. And the crowds, the Mariners, have been really poor as a result. I mean, you know, if you're playing that poorly, your followers aren't going to be there in big numbers. And it's now 2 years in a row that this is happening, and they need to start investing a bit more money and build this squad because otherwise, you know, I fear for the long-term future of the team.
Yeah, certainly some concerns. And just back to Tuesday night for a moment, Brandan Djulwich, the confrontation at the end, a couple of red cards and some suspensions handed out yesterday. You might want to elaborate on that. And any more ramifications to come out of that game?
Ooh, yeah, I reckon John Van Schip will be thinking hard this week about his team and how he rejuvenates them because they were disappointing on the other night. I thought that they should have won that game and they certainly had their chances. They had three penalties. I can't remember a game where one team has got three penalties awarded to them. Liam Reddy saved two of them. Bruno Fornaroli scored one. It was just an extraordinary game. It had red cards. Timmy Cahill scored. He had a goal disallowed, which you could argue could have been a goal as well. So it had so many talking points. What I didn't agree with, the referee made a decision to send off Dino Djulbic, the defender from Perth Glory. Djulbic reacted to Fernando Brandão kicking out at him. They were awarded a penalty. It was so mixed up. It was really difficult to follow. But what should have happened, Brandão kicks out. He's the one that should have been sent off. And no penalty and no red card to Dino Djulbic. You could argue that Djulbic should have been sent off for reacting. So two red cards, but no penalty because the first foul was committed by Brandão, who kicked out of Dino Djulbic. So they got a penalty, and luckily for Perth, they saved that penalty. It would have been an injustice, in my view, for Perth to lose that game in that manner.
Oh, no doubt. He was that worked up, Kenny Lowe, at the end of the game there, and rightly so. I mean, and credit to the fourth official, I suppose, for there was the pause in the game and obviously the second red card awarded, but absolutely agree, Zappers, how you could pay a penalty out of that. I mean, if they had scored, I wonder what the reaction would have been.
Oh, he was apoplectic as it was when the penalty was awarded, Kenny Lowe. And you'll kill Kenny. He was hot under the collar after the game when I interviewed him. But he was frustrated by the decisions that didn't go in their way. I think when he sits down and reassesses the game, he'll realise that his team had more than enough opportunities to win this game. And they should, rather than focus on the referee, focus on what they didn't do right in that game because they are now off the pace. They now need to string some wins together. This is a team that has been a huge investment in this team and this squad. They've got the best squad on paper in the competition. There is pressure on them to do something special this year. They've won the FFA Cup. That's one tick. But if they don't finish in the top two, I think it's a failure for them this year. They really need to to do much better than what they're doing in the last few games.
Absolutely. Travel to Central Coast. We'll have that live on the SEN Saturday night on New Year's Eve. And, of course, the Victory will have that live as well. They play Newcastle at home Monday night at 7.50. We'll be live on air at 7 o'clock. Sappers, thank you. Enjoy the remainder of 2016 and some great football to be played over the next couple of months.
Yeah, still plenty of football. 10 games in 11 days. It's a great period for A-League fans. And that game for Victory, just a quick one, that's down in Geelong. So anyone down on the Surf Coast listening, make sure you get down there. It's the annual game now. They make a special effort to go down and play down at Cadinia Park. So it's a good one for everyone holidaying down in that region.